Over the fall season, we've been thinking about praying and prayer. And we've been trying to figure out how to do it better, where the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And we're getting towards the end. Next week will be the end of our series, and then we have a couple of Sundays of mission emphasis, which are very, very special. I invite you to really make a point of planning on being here for the last two Sundays of November. We have two guest speakers who are coming in to talk about mission and to lead us in that. It's going to be a great time. You'll know more about that in the next little while. But on these last couple of Sundays, I was just kind of reflecting, how do you wind up a series? And I thought, well, one of the things that maybe some of us are wrestling with in our prayer lives is the fact that we have been challenged by prayer, but when we actually pray, it feels like we're not very fluent in prayer. It feels like we're still beginners in this whole thing. It feels sometimes like our prayers sound the same, like every prayer we pray is just the repeat of the last one. Or maybe it just feels sometimes like we're a two-year-old babbling and we hear other people pray and we think, oh, that sounds so good. I wish I could pray like that. And yet we feel that challenge of being, Gladys and Tala talk about their English not being great. It is good. They have no trouble communicating. When I go to another country, I have trouble because I speak English more or less, but I speak nothing else really, and I go to some place that speaks French and they think I'm Canadian and should speak French, and I say, well, I can read the cereal box, but beyond that, it's not helpful. And, I go to somewhere that speaks Spanish, and, if I don't want two beer in a bathroom, I'm really not much use because, we just have a limited vocabulary. And sometimes it feels like that in prayer, right? It sometimes feels like we're speaking to God like children, maybe. And so this morning, as we think about learning to pray, I just have sort of two options for you that I think could help you in that area. And the first one is this idea of practice. And the way you get better at anything is to practice. And the way you get better at praying is to pray. And the problem with practice is it just feels awkward. And the problem with feeling awkward is it doesn't give you the reinforcement that you want. So one of my kind of ways that I'm built is I love to learn. Doesn't really matter what. I love to learn almost anything. Just the joy of learning is good enough for me. So I go through hobbies like other people go through socks, And my current one is trying to learn how to code computers. So I'm doing this, and so I tried to figure out how do you do this. So books are my thing. So I got a book, but learning to code from a book is kind of challenging because there's no feedback, basically. So there's a great website called edX. If you ever want to learn anything, it's a whole bunch of universities that throw their stuff online for free, and it's a lot of it's interactive. So I'm doing this thing on coding, and I listen to the person do it, and then they give you this blank screen, and they say, now here's a problem, code this out, and then they mark it for you. And it's a wonderful kind of way of doing it. But what the thing is, You kind of hear the thing and you think, oh, that makes sense. And then you get this blank screen and you try to get the syntax and you try to get the typing and you try to get the code and you try to figure out how to solve the problem. And all of a sudden, it's a whole different deal, right? Had that kind of thing maybe back in school, you remember? They did the French dictée and it all made sense till you started to write it down. And I think that the challenge is what sometimes seems simple in theory is excruciating in practice. And I wonder if for many of us that isn't how prayer is. That what seems like, well, it should be just talking to God. That's at least what they tell me. How come I keep saying the same thing to Him over and over again? And sometimes it's not even just saying the same thing. Sometimes it feels like Google Translate has got in there too. You get these things that come direct from China with instructions, and you read the instructions, and they were obviously translated by someone who either did not speak English as anywhere close to a first language, or else they were machine translated. And you kind of read them, and you go, well, I think I understand what you want, but I'm laughing so hard I can't do it for the first little while. And sometimes our prayers feel that way, too. You know, the theory is great, but without the practice, without the doing of prayer, we're never going to improve. My dad, who was a great reader, always wanted to be in shape, and so he read a lot of books about being in shape. I've sort of inherited that. I can tell you more about the theory of losing weight than I can actually lose weight, and I can tell you more about the theory of being in shape than being in shape. And I can probably tell you more about prayer and the theory of prayer than I really practice. And I wonder if that's true of you as well. One of the hardest things to do in life is what we're not good at, because we get endorphins, we get those happy drugs in our bloodstream from success, not from failure. And when we don't feel we've done well, we get discouraged. So here's the thing for practice. I kind of said this the other week, but let me bring it back again. Start small. If you're going to run a marathon, don't start by running 26 miles the first day. Start small. If you're going to master prayer, start small. Maybe set a goal of 5 minutes. And what I've started to do is I've started to use my cell phone and the timer on it. And here's the thing for you. If you're not praying 5 minutes a day, let me just suggest tomorrow or this afternoon or sometime, take out your cell phone, set the timer for 1 minute. Push the button and just be quiet and just sort of think about God and praise God. When the little timer goes off, set it to something mellow, you know, not the klaxon alarm or something, but something mellow. And when it goes off, just hit the repeat button and then maybe begin to talk to God about how you feel and confess your sins. And when the 1 minute thing goes again, hit repeat and then begin to pray for your family or your immediate or surroundings. And then when it rings again, maybe begin to pray for the needs around you. And then that fifth time, for that fifth minute, maybe start praying for the world. And you'll be amazed at how 5 minutes of prayer suddenly becomes easily structured and easily doable. And then maybe you expend that minute to a minute and a half. Maybe you set it for 3 minutes and you read your Bible for a few minutes. And maybe a couple of minutes of just reflecting, what did I read? What did it say? And don't be afraid to underline in your Bible. If you saw my Bible, I got more written in there than Paul does. And, you know, it's stuff that helps me understand it or remember it or apply it. But just these simple practice things, to start out by practice. You're not going to get any better at prayer by just feeling bad about it. And you're not going to get any better at prayer by just the theory of it. You got to start out with practice. But then the second thing is you need to find models. If you're not just going to pray the same prayer over and over again, 1 minute at a time, you need to figure out how to other people pray, and you need to learn from others. I heard this story about a young boy who went to the Stampede with his mother, and he was sort of one of these kids that never had an unspoken thought, and he saw these cowboys standing there bow-legged as can be, and he said to his mother, "How come those guys' legs are so funny?" And his mother was super embarrassed, and she gave him a slap and said, and when she got home, she said, "You don't talk that way." He said, "I'm going to teach you to talk properly, so for now till next year, after school, you're going to read through the entire plays of Shakespeare. You are going to learn to talk properly and respectfully." And so the boy got kept in after school a little bit, and he read through the whole plays. And the next year, they went back to Stampede, and darn it, there were the same cowboys with the same legs. And his mother looked over at him to see what he was going to do, and he just looked up at her, and he said, "Mother, what manner of man is this that walketh with his legs in parenthesis?" If we're going to learn to speak, we find models. And if we're going to learn to pray, we learn to find prayers that are worth praying. We find models that stretch our vocabulary, that stretch our thoughts, that maybe stretch what we ask for. And I think the best place to find those is simply in the Bible. And so I've kind of put some in your notes there for you. And I just thought we'd use music, because you know how much I love music, as a metaphor to help you do that. And so the first part of the Bible is classic rock. The best music was written in the 70s. We all know that. And, you know, high school is where we first connect to music at some level, and that's when I connected to my music. But the classic rocks of the Bible are the Psalms. The Psalms were Israel's prayer book. If you're a monk, especially a Trappist monk today, you will read those Psalms every week. All 150 of them are read and chanted in the five offices of the day. And as you read through the Psalms, you learn to pray. I used to follow for a number of years a Bible reading schedule where I read through the Old Testament once and the New Testament and the Psalms twice, on the theory that the Psalms give you the language of prayer and they give you the model of prayer. And Psalms have everything. They have Psalms of joy, they have Psalms of sorrow, they have Psalms of anger, they have Psalms of confusion. And maybe just as a thing, you know, maybe set a goal. I'm going to read through the Psalms over the next 1 to 3 months. And as you do, because you're allowed to write in your Bibles, kind of write down beside each Psalm, what is the mood of that Psalm? Psalm 1, you know, talking about like a tree planted by the water. Well, it's sort of a song of praise. You know, Psalm 22, the psalm that Jesus used on the cross, right? My God, why have you forsaken me? Well, that's a psalm of lament, a psalm of confusion. Psalm 23, the one we sang today, the Lord is my shepherd. A psalm of just trust and prayer to God. Psalm 51, you know, David's psalm. Lord, cleanse me. Forgive my sins. The one he prayed after having sex with Bathsheba. Psalms of confession. They're all there. Tyler was speaking last week about, you know, when your prayers aren't answered. Well, when your prayers aren't answered, you pray the Psalms of lament, right? I remember when my father was sick and was dying, and the prayers that stuck out to me were the prayers that said, how long? There's 20-some of these prayers that have how long in them. Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemies triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say I have overcome him and my foes will rejoice when I fail. But I trust in your unfailing love and my heart rejoices in your salvation. And I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Must be you guys' prayer, eh? How long, O Lord? How long? How do you pray when things aren't going well? Do you have to just put on a happy face? Or can you pray the prayers of lament? The classic rock, the Psalms. The second one, jazz. If Psalms are the classic rock, then I think Paul's prayers are jazz, because Paul takes the Old Testament and he weaves in the Psalms with Jesus and New Testament theology, and then he writes out his prayers to the people that he's writing to. And they're wonderful ways to kind of see how Paul uses the prayer, kind of that riff on the Psalms, if you want. Maybe you're praying for someone and you don't really know what to pray. You're praying for your kids, you're praying for missionaries, you're praying for family, you're praying for yourself, whatever it is. It's this great, from Ephesians 3. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, and I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. What a prayer of blessing to pray over someone when you're just trying to figure out, how do I pray for this person? Jazz. Paul. So the classic rocks of the Bible, the Psalms, the Paul's prayers, kind of the jazz riffs on the Psalms and updated in some ways. Third one, kind of top 20. You're probably asking, how come you don't have the prayers of Jesus in here? Surely we should have the prayers of Jesus in here somewhere. Well, he comes next. Top 20 rock. Now, I don't know exactly how radio stations work this day, but when I was just finishing high school, my brother-in-law was a disc jockey at a top radio station in Saskatchewan. And it was a top 20, top 40 radio station, which means that they played the same 20 songs all day. And it's heavy rotation, especially of the top ones, you know, drive time, morning, afternoon, evening, night, doesn't matter. You're going to hear the top 20 over and over and over again because that's what they play. Well, what are the top 20 prayers of the Bible? Philip Yancey put together the Student Bible. And he came up with the ones that I've put in your bulletin there. So in your bulletin, there's some sermon notes. And in the sermon notes, you want to keep that in your Bible from now on because it's got some stuff about prayer that will help you. And there you see the top 20 that are there. You know, Abraham's plea for Sodom, Moses' song to the Lord after they went through the Red Sea, David's response to God's promise, Solomon's dedication of the temple. There's some great stuff in there. The engineers have already noticed that there's not 20 of them. But nobody plays top 14 rock. So here's the thing. Your job is to find the other six. What would you add? Well, first of all, I'm surprised he doesn't have Ephesians 3, the one I read you. I would put that in there. He doesn't have Psalm 51. He doesn't have David's Psalm of Confession. I would put that one in there. So that's two more for you. So four more to go. And you can drop some of those out. You may not think that those are going to help you in any significant way. But there are probably top 20 type prayers in the Bible that are prayers that others have prayed. And it's just this idea of what could we learn from? You know, 20, that's what, 3 weeks if you get a day off? Maybe for 3 weeks, just pray one of those prayers a day as part of your prayer time. Just see what happens to your prayer life if you began to pray these different prayers as they come out there. So we got the classic rock, we got the jazz, we got the top 20, and finally we get to the greatest hits. We used to drive, you know, back and forth from here to BC or wherever we would be driving on our holidays. And we had a cassette player in our car, and we owned at least three or four cassettes that we liked. And we would play them in high rotation, as they say. And so my kids got to know Dr. Hook. They got to know Peter, Paul, and Mary. They got to know Louis Armstrong. They're still in therapy dealing with some of that, but it's all good. But the greatest hits thing is, you know, if you've been around as a band long enough, they will eventually put all your hits in one album, so you don't have to waste your money buying six. You can just buy the good ones because there's lots of, you know, dreg on the album as well. And you don't have to buy the B-side stuff. You just have the A-side. And you got the greatest hits of Simon and Garfunkel. All right. You know, and you're successful as a band if you got enough to actually fill more than a 45. So, for those of you that understand that language. Greatest hits. One of my greatest hits. So, who do you pick? Well, you could pick David, you could pick Jesus, you could pick anybody. I picked Nehemiah. A little bit not what you might have thought, first of all. But for me, it's Nehemiah. First of all, there's 13 chapters to the book of Nehemiah, and there's at least 15 to 20 prayers, depending how you count. Sometimes he just mentions prayer. Sometimes he talks about prayer. Sometimes he gives you the prayer. Nehemiah was a guy that was into project management and building. He was building the wall around Jerusalem, as you recall, while he was doing these prayers. He was facing all kinds of opposition. So if you're trying to build something against opposition, well, Nehemiah is your guy. And he has all these different prayers in there. And so here's a prayer of Nehemiah. Nehemiah said, Lord, this is at the very beginning of the book of Nehemiah. He's just discovered how bad things are in Jerusalem, but he is off in Babylon, and he wants to get back. And so he has to talk to his boss, because he's a high-up civil servant. He has to talk to the king about getting permission to go back to Jerusalem. And this is his prayer. Then I said, Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keeps his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my ancestral family, have committed. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We've not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you're unfaithful, I will scatter you. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling place for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. So, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of the servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. And this untheological civil servant prays this prayer, which is an awesome prayer. It's a prayer of confession. It's a prayer of praise. It's a prayer of remembrance as he kind of goes through with God, well, all things that God has done for him. It's a prayer of confession, both for him and for his tribe. It's a prayer of asking for God to be with him and give him favor. It's an amazing prayer. In fact, if you come to me, and some of you do, and say, hey, listen, I got a job interview on Thursday, I've got a doctor's appointment, whatever, would you pray for me? The prayer I pray most often is the very last line of that prayer. God, give this person success today by granting them favor in the eyes of these people, especially in job things. You know, that's one of the prayers I pray a lot over people. This prayer of corporate confession. But also, he prays this prayer, which, you know, takes like half a chapter. But then and there's other prayers that are longer. And then he prays these just lightning prayers, just in the moment when he needs it. The king said to me, what is it you want? And then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king. So between his getting that question and him answering, he gets a prayer in there. And learning to do that, where prayer doesn't have to be, you know, this long, drawn-out thing. It can just be this, God, give me favor quick. God, give me words. God, give me peace. God, give me patience. God, whatever it is. But prayer in the moment. I also learned from Nehemiah how to treat staff and other people, because at the end of the book, you know, he's dealing with the people that have come back. And I love the way his prayer shaped his character, because it says, you know, he commanded the Levites to purify themselves. And then he saw that some of the people had married outside the tribe and outside of the faith and had married non-believers, and half their children spoke the language of Ashdod and the language of one of the other people, didn't even know how to speak the language of Judah. And then I just love this part of Nehemiah's life. I rebuked them and called curses down on them. I beat some of them and pulled out their hair, and I made them take an oath in God's name. So I'm not quite sure how that fits into prayer, but I just love the way that Nehemiah, you know, he's a very human person who's praying this prayer, you know, because he's like just beaten the tar out of these poor people, and but he's praying for them, you know, that God will meet them in a special way. How do we learn to pray? Well, we practice. You're not going to get better without praying. But what do you pray? Well, if you just practice the same thing over and over again, you'll get really good at what you already do. But what if you began to stretch out? What if you began to do some of the classic rock of the Bible, of the Psalms? And what if you began to look at Paul's letters? And in every letter except the book of Titus, that's the only book that Paul does not write a prayer out for those people that he's writing to. And what if you kind of took his jazz riffs on Psalms and used those? Or what if you had some of those top 20 prayers? Or what if you had some of the greatest hit prayers? What if you began to expand your repertoire? What if you began to be able to say what you really felt? And some of those prayers are important to pray because they may not be what you feel, but they may be what you need to feel. And sometimes we pray prayers because we know that's what we need to pray. And as we pray those, God begins to work them into our lives. As we begin to pray prayers of trust and begin to pray prayers of thanksgiving, he begins to work those in. And then lastly, contemporary. I knew I was going to get all kinds of flack for whatever image I chose for contemporary. So I went with what's on the top of the charts right now, the movie Star is Born, which has great music but incredible language. So if you're going to go see it, be prepared to hear a word that starts with F about 200 times. But good movie if you can get past that. But just this idea of contemporary, this idea that there's prayers being written today that maybe also reflect and stretch us out. Prayers that are being written in things like the Celtic prayer book, the one called the Celtic Daily Prayer. It's a number of different things, just different prayers for each day. Shane Claiborne has an interesting book called Common Prayer, A Liturgy for Ordinary Radicals. It's a very interesting book. And the, not contemporary exactly, but more contemporary than the Bible, the Book of Common Prayer out of the Anglican Church has wonderful prayers in it as well. We're going to come to communion in a moment, and I want to pray a prayer from Shane Claiborne's Common Prayer book. But this morning, just this challenge, God wants us to be in communion with him. God wants us to speak to him, to tell him our hearts, to hear his heart. And in prayer, we do that. And as we practice and as we read the prayers of the Bible, the prayers are God's way of speaking to us as well as our way of speaking to God. And as we grow in that, God can make such a difference in our lives. So I just encourage us this week, maybe just for this week, figure out one of those things to do. Maybe it's some of those top prayers. Maybe it's some of Paul's prayers. Maybe it's some of the Psalms. Maybe it's, you know, just that whole idea of practice where we just set our clocks or timers for short times so that we can kind of get through some of the moods. And as we change gears, we realize that prayer all of a sudden begins to not be a work or a challenge, but just begins to be us communicating with God. But whatever it is this morning, I invite you to make a step towards deepening our prayer life with God. We're going to come to communion, and as the worship team prepares us with a song, let me read this from Shane Claiborne's Common Prayer, A Liturgy for Ordinary Radicals. He says this as we prepare ourselves. The table is now made ready. It's the table of company with Jesus and all who love him. It's the table of sharing with the poor of the world with whom Jesus identified himself. It's the table of communion with the earth in which Jesus became incarnate. So come to this table, you who have much faith and you who would like to have more. You who have been here often and you who have not been here for a long time. You who have tried to follow Jesus and you who have failed, come, for Christ invites us to meet him here. Loving God, through your goodness, we have this bread and grape juice to offer, which has come forth from the earth and human hands have made. May we know your presence in the sharing, so that we may know your touch and presence in all things. We celebrate the life that Jesus has shared among his community through the centuries and shares with us now. Made one in Christ and one with each other, we offer these elements and with them ourselves as a single living act of praise. Amen.